Welcome to the Disrupt Education Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Hostrasser. Hey, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Do me a favor, hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Love your feedback. That's the only way we can grow. If you head over to disrupteducation.co, that's disrupteducation.co, you can check out this podcast and all the other ones. You can also read my blog, see where I'm going to be, and we can connect and talk a little bit more about education reform and many, many other topics around education. On today's episode, I have a 13-year-old who empowers people. Raheen Fatima is from Pakistan, and she is a stand-up comedian, theater actress, interviewer, and an ambassador. And yes, she is just 13. Her goal is to empower people around her by coordinating different interviews and sessions and panel discussions. She's done over 500 of those, ranging from business, economics, and education. And she is also an entrepreneur. She's worked with diverse professionals, social and cultural backgrounds of all types of people across the world. And we have her today. She's going to share her educational journey, her thoughts on what schools and education should look like, coming up next on the podcast. Have you ever thought about creating courses and training online? Without a partner to guide you through that process, you're going to be stressed about why your learners aren't engaged or how to create updated content, missing revenue opportunities, and not even having enough time. I know because I create online courses. And I have a solution for you, e-learning partners. You don't have to be overwhelmed anymore. Become a partner with eLearning Partners to create your courses and training stress-free and achieve the results you want to see. If you are thinking about wanting to create a course or training online and you believe like I believe that no expertise should go unheard, then click the eLearning Partners link in the notes of this podcast and you can start your journey to create your courses and training stress-free. If you want all that and more from the eLearning Partners, hit the link in the podcast notes because there's a free masterclass for you to take. That's right, a free masterclass. Hit that link today. I recently asked Jake, who is a sophomore in high school, why he uses SpikeView to share his learning journey.
I think it's really cool that, you know, SpikeView is really putting that abstract into concrete data and knowledge and then displaying that to the outside world. And I think SpikeView is different than anything else out there. Like I said before, because it's really taking that, you know, those abstract skill sets and those abstract experiences and putting them into data that, you know, is actually mathematic and scientific and, you know, that matches you up with the best programs and, you know, best places for you. People, you know, who are really trying to make those changes in the world, and they're going to be using SpikeView because SpikeView is that app where you can, you know, take those experiences and take those passions and put them out there. And share with other people, and that's, you know, that's really powerful. And to that, you know, that professional networking piece, you know, to be with other like-minded teenagers, that puts you ahead. That puts you ahead in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I think anyone who uses SpikeView right now has a leg up in the future, and excited to see, you know, where those SpikeView alumni head up.
Head to SpikeView.com. Start your portfolio now for free. The Disrupt Education vlog can be found on YouTube. To hear it in podcast form, search Disrupt Education on any of the following podcast platforms: Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Castbox, Overcast, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Spotify, or Stitcher. Welcome to this episode of Disrupt Education. I'm Peter Hostrasser, the host. Hey, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. I have a wonderful guest today. She is 13 and doing some amazing things across the globe. I want to introduce you to Raheen Fatima. How are you doing today?
I'm amazing. What about you? I'm so happy to be here. And I feel like this was so important to me, and I would like to add that I'm here 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yes, yes. You are in Pakistan, correct?
Yeah, I am. But I feel like whenever I'm talking about education or anything that truly is my mission or I want to work on, then time isn't like more of a thing. It's like, okay, I'm over the fact that I'm here but it's more about the conversation that we have and perhaps the people that we reach, and maybe, you know, if it is very ideally, be inspired by our conversation.
Absolutely. Right? Yes, absolutely. And again, thank you so much. You got up for this, but we'll jump into like who you are. What are some of the things that you're doing? You're an entrepreneur, you're a comedian. You've had over, you know, hundreds of interviews of people. Tell us your story. Like, who are you and what are you all about?
Oh, that's a vague question.
That's a big one.
Say that. Yeah, that is. So basically, so I'm Sarleen. I am from Islamabad, Pakistan, and I'm a stand-up comedian. That's the first thing that I started doing, and then writing came along with that as well. And I'm an aspiring entrepreneur. Then I taught English for a while, and I volunteer at times, weekends, for teaching English to Singaporean children. And then I also am a theater actress and an interviewer. And in theater, I mainly work on child rights and child abuse through puppet plays and theater plays. That's what I do. If for starters, that is.
Yeah, that's
but
it.
But I've been professionally involved for about 2 years. And I really love what I do. And what I don't love, I don't do. And with all this, I also binge watch Netflix. So I really pride myself over my time management.
That's wonderful. I mean, so many different things. So you started as a stand-up comedian. Was that like the first of all that list?
Yeah, it was. The thing was that I just wanted to perform in school, something that was mine because I'm a huge drama queen. So I'm always in like all the plays and stuff. Come on, I pride myself over that as well. But, so my comedy, because it wasn't in school then it started at open mics. And then from open mics, I went on to join Comedy Square Pakistan, which is a comedy group, it's like a group for comedians. And then it was show after show after show. And then COVID is again a bit kind of like an obstacle, but... Mm-hmm. You know, we're at this point in time in Pakistan, it's the third wave, and we're pretty much over the fact that, you know, here it's kind of like we're very used to it right now, right? But it's amazing. And basically, comedy was that kind of thing where I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. I learned the fact that, oh my God, there is no, so to say, clean comedy, because it was at times that I went to my show, I'd perform, I'd open the night, and then I'd walk out. They would kick me out of the show because it wasn't appropriate for me. But I made jokes on aunties. I made jokes on what I had seen as an 11-year-old around me. And what moved me to start that was, first, I wanted to do something different. And then at a young age, because when my brother got cancer, for me, it was like the realization moment of my life. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? After seeing this, I'm like, will I ever get to live until I'm 18? Again, you'll be like, oh my God, don't say such things. But, you know, nobody can ever guarantee me my life or how long will I live. Nobody can, ever. So I was like, we need to do anything that we need to do right now. So that's how it all started. And then, more things got added, and then some things I left behind. And then, I mean, God, it's unbelievable now.
Yeah. That's an amazing mindset. I really love that mindset of, you know, being reminded of death, right? I mean, I don't think it is anything to shy away from. And you're obviously really in the great mindset and faith of, you know what, let's just do what we got to do now. And you know what, let's laugh about it. That's a wonderful look on life. Let's jump into now your education, right? So you're 13. What does education look like for you? Are you in school? I mean, a lot of my listeners throughout the world, what is number one, what does Pakistani education look like overall? And how about yours? Does it differ?
So basically right now I study on a website. That's like the simplest way to say it. I'm homeschooling right now. I'm doing my O-levels. As of now, I'm studying physics only, and it's amazing. Honestly, it is amazing, and it is way better than all the years that I was in school. I wake up in the morning, or I could study anytime I want. I could really just do tomorrow's work right now. Mm-hmm. and I would study, watch videos, and I haven't used a single piece of paper until, you know, for all the homeschooling that I've done for the past few months. And it's amazing for me because I'm also into sustainability. And this is what I am doing basically right now. Before this, I was in one of the largest private schools of my country. Mm-hmm. So I got a chance to, you know, really learn concept-based curriculums and all that stuff. But education, if I generalize, education in Pakistan would look like that. You have a book, the answer is just marked by the teachers. Mm-hmm. You memorize that. If you do not write word by word, you do not get marks.
Hmm.
So it is memorization. It is awful. So the thing is that until that point in time came that I also had to memorize so many things, I wasn't used to it. I'm like, now that's weird. Because I can't go up with that. And the thing is that the information that you're memorizing, that isn't processed in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
What you're taught in class, the exact same questions, they come in your exam. Yeah. And the books and the curriculum that has been going on from, well, my dad's time is still what my cousin is studying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my dad is a middle-aged man.
You got to be careful there, because I am that too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't offend my dad. Come on. He's like my manager and my publicist and my personal assistant and whoever manages this diva that you're looking right here. You know, when I first started, you know, being a bit recognized, I had this kind of thing going on of like all my diva tantrums and everything. I'm like, oh my God, I'm famous. And then I feel like my parents are the ones that keep me grounded. They're like,
damn.
You know, it's,
that's good.
Come to earth. Come back again. Yeah. Come to life. But no, they're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So even in private schools, I would ask questions. So this is the kind of thing. I ask a lot of questions. I'd be like, why am I learning algebra? And the teacher wouldn't have a question. They would not have an answer. I know that there's probably, you know, a sensible answer for this.
Mm-hmm.
But when the teacher is not equipped with all these things, it's not just one rhyming that is asking questions. Then there's others that come up. And by the end of the, you know, semester, there were so many children that were asking the same questions. Why am I learning this?
Mm-hmm.
Because I asked, I'm like, why am I learning this? You know, teachers were like, because you are supposed to. And that is what bothered me. I'm like, and then the teacher started asking the, you know, the principal and the curriculum manager and whatever, that, why am I teaching them this? Because I need to be, you know, I need to have an answer the next time, because the teachers would also feel the embarrassment. It is embarrassing when you're just like, because you're supposed to learn this.
Right,
darling.
Right.
And that is when I realized that I learned so many things every day. And at the end of the day, I've got like nothing that I know how I'm going to use.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And school is to, well, it is supposed to equip you for the life ahead of you, the professional life. Is it though? I learned a lot in the time that I was in an incubation center, but I still am, but the COVID has disturbed a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned a lot because my questions were answered. And then I also learned in the part where graduates from the best universities of the country, they'd come to me for business advice. And I'm like, okay, yes, I'm great and all. You know, I'm amazing. I love that you're coming to me. But the question is that you have a degree in business from the best business school in Pakistan, not me.
And
it all comes down that, you know, English is taught as a language until, you know, like very high level of education. But I have seen some of the writings and they're disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just that you memorize a lot. You're not clear with it. You can't process it because of the questioning. And it all comes down to, well, you are not taught the right things.
Mm-hmm.
Are you taught? I mean, I learned a lot. I learned how to build relationships and how to keep them and then how to keep them alive and what things to do. And I mean, I learned my professionalism that I pride myself over again. you know, right here in these 2 years, but school never taught me that.
Right.
School never taught me when you come on a Zoom meeting or when you meet somebody, how do you greet them? You know, be early to a meeting. What do you ask before you are talking to somebody new? Or how to be, how to impress somebody if you really just want a business deal with them?
I'll tell you.
I'm sure not everybody goes into all these things.
Yeah.
But you need to know them, even if you end up, you know, a lot of people, everybody does get married at the end of the day. Even if you are a stay-at-home mom, you do need these things, you know, somewhere in life. So these things are important.
Oh, it's well, I'll tell you how you impress somebody. You're 13, you have a resume like you, and you get up at 2:30 in the morning and do an interview. That's impressive. So that's just today. So, but yeah, let's talk a little bit. So you said you're studying, was it physics right now? Is that what you're studying?
Yeah, right now it's only physics, but yeah. I'm thinking of adding more subjects so that I can go forward faster. Because for me, I only have to study 4 hours in one day. And I can also take breaks with how much I'm a more of a concentrated worker.
Yeah.
So I work like a lot in some hours and then I can break.
Right.
You know, that's the kind of thing right now that's going on.
So if you were,
you know, it's a lot in school.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask. If you were in school, is it like 5, 6, 7 subjects and you're like hitting them all and it's like scrambled? What does that look like in a day in education?
So basically in one day for me, education would look like, if I was going to a school, which I was, and it is 8 subjects that I have, you know, almost, yeah, 8 subjects that I'm having. And then I have to juggle that all in, well, it sums up to be with me going there and coming back and everything 9 hours a day.
Wow. Wow.
And if that's like compressed into like, you know, the tissue that are compressed in a tablet, they're so cool. So, you know, if they're just compressed and they're so cool. Right? So I feel like if that's there and then I can sit in my pages all day and then I can eat and then I can enjoy as well. And the schedule is mine, right? I can study anytime I want.
Yeah.
So I feel like that is spectacular.
Yeah, I think that's that. I just had this conversation with some colleagues today about, you know, how long do you need to actually study for something and in what kind of chunks and of time? And that's, I really like that avenue. So, so with that, that's probably something that you would change in education. What else? How else would, like, you know, you're 13, you're seeing a lot of different things. You are actually a very self-motivated starter, diva. Let's start there. But how would you, if you could be the person in charge of education, like, what would you do? What would you, how would you change? And, you know, that's coming. That'll be on your list, I'm guessing, because, you know, you're doing so much. But like what would you do?
I think the first thing I do is that actually start teaching things that we need in real life. I've never been taught anger management. I had to learn that on my own. I was never taught how to make relationships and then how to keep them in all sense. And, you know, when you're talking business, work, workplace, and also in personal life. And then that brings me to, you know, a lot of things, and I think you may get my point. When school does not teach certain things about adult life or relationships or married life even, you know, it comes down that the parents are shy to talk about it and they have boundaries and everything. A child Googles things and things come up. And I think the most appropriate thing I can say to that is that it is not the correct representation of adult life or a married life or whatever specific thing you may be doing.
Is this where you're getting a lot of your jokes? It's like you grab them on those Googles. I'm just teasing.
Come on, I live in a crazy bunch. Okay,
Right.
So that's the thing. I mean, I call living like legends, like stand-up comedians for aunts. What do you expect from like me? I mean, me as stand-up comedian is so different. People would have like an 11-year-old walk on stage and perform for them. So for them, it was amazing. For mm-hmm. me, it was too. That is one thing I say, teaching things that really are important. And what you're teaching, how would I ever use algebra? Everybody knows at this point that X plus one when is equal to three, X is equal to two. That is a universally known fact. When will I use it? I was never taught that. I still don't know that, by the way. But that is the important thing. What you learn, you know how to use, and what is actually important so that you're equipped as a graduate. When you're a graduate, you'll be able to do what you want to do, and you know that, and you'll be able to explore. I mean, outside of school, I learned a lot of things. What I learned was academic things. I learned geometry and stuff in school, which I never got to use because of what I do. But if I would have been a scientist or something more techie and stuff, I would have gotten to use that.
Right.
But I was never taught public speaking. I feel like I learned a lot in the time that I was in an incubation center. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
For me, I still compare that, and it's so weird. That, you know, when I learned about social entrepreneurship,
mm-hmm.
and when I got, you know, I was actually like a daily visitor at the incubation center. So I'd go every day, I'd hang out with everybody. And then there's rooms and there's offices and there's so many things where, you know, new things are being made. And I'm like, oh my God, it's amazing. So I feel like for me, I would compare that time to being high on life, like super stoned on life.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Because for me, that time was just beautiful time of my life.
What ways would you teach this in? So what environment would you teach people all these skills? Would it be I'm going to guess it wouldn't be like nine different times a day. So what would that environment look like to you?
First, if it is a physical environment, that has to be a super chic looking building. Well, so sorry. That was the first thing in my list, but it needs to be super chic. Right? I mean, come on, that matters in the learning process. You're like, oh my God, I'm sitting in a cool place, like looking all cool, and then I'm ready to learn. I feel like second thing would be first that, you know, you do not generalize. You do not judge. Imagine an 11-year-old with a notebook, pen and a mobile, like all around an incubation center, asking everybody weird questions. Weird questions may include a lot of many things. Yeah. And, you know, nobody judged me for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'd pitch the manager an idea like every 1 week. I'd be like, what if that happens? I prepared pitch decks. I learned how to pitch all these things because I was given the power to just go wild appropriately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go wild. It's like girls gone wild, right?
Allegedly.
Yeah. So I feel like that is really important. And the people that you're around, they really need to respect you because, I mean, people would, because, you know, there's this thing that we wouldn't call, you know, by names. We'd like sir or ma'am. And even like an 11-year-old, they'd call me ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Because they respected me like that. And I felt respected and I felt, you know, accepted. And because it was in like that amazing building that has a lot of memories and that has cool walls. Cool walls.
Cool walls.
I feel like that is where all, you know, kind of was the perfect, everybody has that kind of perfect creative environment. I mean, my dad has what I think a really weird environment that makes him, you know, think creatively.
Mm-hmm.
But me is like rock music on like the most it could ever be. And I'm like roaming around like a weirdo. And that's my thinking mm-hmm. place. And that's my creative spot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I really like that because honestly, it's access. It's you, the freedom to really like ask questions. Honestly, if we can't ask questions, right, we're not free. So that's what's an amazing thing. And of course, you know, I think in many cultures, maybe not all, but like when youth are curious and asking questions, that's pretty powerful. And I think that most people would be like, yeah, come on, I'd love to help you, or I'd love to share something with you. And I think that's amazing that you have figured that out at such a young age. So that's cool. What's next for you? What's going on in your life, and what are the next steps that, you know, people can, you know, connect with you or see what you're doing?
So basically I've got my LinkedIn. Yes. It's so cool that I'm on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Right. I love that.
Like, oh my God. I'm so professional. Yeah, that I am. Come on. So, I am Raheen Fatima, my name, R-A-H-W-E-N-F-A, space between that, F-A-T-I-M-A, that's me on Facebook, Instagram, and on Instagram, I really don't check it, except my Explore page, I'm not going to lie, and on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things going on, but when it comes to children asking questions, there's an amazing event. I don't know when this is going to be put on. Mm-hmm. But you can check it later as well. And an event is happening with me, the Dalai Lama, and many more amazing, inspiring people. And I'm part of one of the groups, and that is the Young Peace and Child Rights Activists. And I'll be asking, along with two amazing, friends of mine, a question to the Dalai Lama. Mm-hmm. This 12th. That'll be 12th April. Yeah, 12th April. And I mean, it's amazing already. So with questions, if the Dalai Lama is taking out time from his super busy schedule, that I can assure you, to, you know, answer a group of children and then many more groups of inspiring women and so on and on, then so could you. Just, you know, when you were asked a question, I get asked weird questions all the time, but it's all about how you respond to them, mm-hmm. right? You can respond to them with a joke, but it's all about respecting somebody enough to do that. And that is also one of my works, and that I'm working on the love, care, and respect of children and how that impacts peace, because I feel like they're both directly proportional, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because when you are respected, when you are loved and cared for, you're more likely to go on a path of respecting, caring, and loving other people. And that's how peace is basically spread. And interestingly, I'm working on a Netflix production for that. And I'm the creator. I'll be the first Netflix creator from my country. So I'm like super, like, it's like super dope. So that's what I'm working on. There's many things that are there, but I feel like these two things are at the top of my head right now.
Oh, that's amazing. And we'll share all your connections and everything in the notes of the show and everything. One last question to finish off. What I really want to know is, worldwide, somebody your age is struggling learning, struggling with their courage and doing something that they love. What advice do you tell them?
You know, what I would say is that I understand. I mean, I am also at high school right now, so I know it's like not the best thing in the world. But you can make it the best thing in the world. That's the special part of it. It's all how, you know, you filter things in your mind, right? Take what you want to do and let loose and have fun. A lot of times we're like, you know, listen to Dre, rap, have fun, you know, do anything that you feel is appropriate. That wouldn't be fun, but okay. You know, let loose and have fun in these years. Binge watch Netflix, binge watch The Crown, and tell me how that is. And I would say, at this point in time, start exploring what you want to do in life. I am also working on an exploration site and app with children, because, see, my dad had the time and the will to take me, you know, around with him all the time. You know, I spent a day with a dentist. I spent a day with an orthodontist. I spent a day with a doctor. I spent a day with a painter. I took up robotics and it was not the best thing in the world, so I quit. And then I went to an entrepreneurship boot camp. That made some difference, mm-hmm. right? So the thing is, not every parent has the time, and I respect that. I absolutely respect that. That's why I'm making something like this. But until that does not come out, try to explore as many things as possible. What hits you, ask a few questions to yourself or talk to about your parents, because I'm sure they would just appreciate your effort. And come on, if you work right now, we'll be enjoying, you know, by the time we're in 20s. And you'll get appreciated by middle-aged men over the world and women.
Old guys like me. Listen, Raheem, it is an amazing opportunity to talk to you. I want to thank you so much for being with us and taking the time out of your extremely busy schedule. On the 12th of April, when this comes out, it'll probably be after that, but we'll put the link up to that as well. An amazing opportunity, and you've made that happen, and it's an honor to be able to interview you on Disrupt Education. So thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much. It was an amazing time that I have. And I feel like at times when I'm interviewed, not all the time, but at times I realize, like, oh my God, I'm super special. And I have like a moment of realization. I'm like, I do so many things. I need a break. And then it's the time that I binge watch my Netflix. But this time I feel like it was more than that. And that was special because of you, Peter. Thank you so much for having me on. And I definitely like to annoy you more by being here more often.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. And thank you all for listening. We'll hit you up next time on Disrupt Education.